Please turn with me to Acts chapter 28. I'll be reading the entire chapter of Acts 28. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief men of the island called Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in the ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers, and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of God.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we listen to his word. Spirit of the living God, as we listen to the word that is being preached, we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our mind to understand not just what was read and what we will listen, Lord, but also, Lord, may your spirit apply it in our lives, Lord, and convict us of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, some weeks back, our church leadership, we had a lunch fellowship with True Grace Presbyterian Church. True Grace is our neighbor and the Chinese congregation that we share this premise with. And during that fellowship, I was very glad to catch up with my BB officer when I was Sec 1. And he's now a deacon of True Grace Church. Now, when I was in Sec 1, this officer had a chat with me when I was 13 years old during one of the camp. He sensed that I was open to the gospel. And then he led me to Christ and he prayed for me. And that's when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that has been close to 30 years. And over lunch, we also talk about the different BB officers and the different boys over the years that we know. And happy to know that another of my BB officer is now pastoring a church. One is in the social services in a Christian organization. Another is an elder in a Chinese Presbyterian church. Some other boys that were touched by the gospel and living good lives. And we also talk about one other person who has drifted from the faith and how can we reach out to him. There were times I think and I wonder, what if no one had ever shared the gospel with me? What if no one had ever shared the gospel with you? I don't think I'll be here today. I'll be living a very different life, and I don't think it will be for the better. I would not have known God's love. I wouldn't have found joy and peace, no hope after this life, no hope after death. And I'll be certainly, I think, be living with very undesirable habits today. The gospel has the power to transform lives. And I believe it is true for you also. And that conversation with Lun Tong, my officer, he reminded me that God, he sovereignly and powerfully transforms lives when the gospel is shared. God will do that work. And I'm a recipient of that grace when my BB officer shared that gospel to me. And I believe that all of us here seated today can also testify that after knowing Jesus, it doesn't mean that life is smooth sailing, but you have peace, you have hope, you have the strength. Perhaps you used to be fearful about your life, and knowing Jesus has given you peace in your situations. Maybe you have experienced the Lord providing for you in a very remarkable way. Perhaps some of us have also, most of us, I believe, have experienced the Lord changing our character, transforming us slowly but surely, and guiding us in the right path, the right decisions in life. And maybe some of us have experienced the Lord giving us strength in our difficult situation at home or at work, given us peace to go through a trial. And we need not today worry about two of our greatest enemy, the penalty of sin or death, because Jesus assures us that when we believe in him, God has forgiven our sin, we have eternal life. And that is the Christian hope and promises that we have in the Bible. And we can testify that we have, in one way or another, tasted all these benefits. We have meaning in life, we have purpose, we have hope. Question: do the people around us have this joy and hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Do our family members, do our friends, our colleague, friends in school have this, share this same hope that we have? Why are we not excited to share the gospel of Jesus Christ if this is what we have experienced and this is what we believe? Why are we not excited to share? Perhaps we are just not so comfortable about it. Maybe we think that this is a job for another person or another group of people. Or maybe, just maybe, we ourselves are not convicted of the gospel. We are not convicted that it has the power to transform lives. Now, our sermon today encourages us. It shows us that God sovereignly and powerfully transforms lives when the gospel is shared. Now, we come to the end of our series in Acts. We have spent about half a year, of course, interweaved with a few other sermons. But today is the last sermon. And I just want to summarize the book of Acts. First, under one major theme of the book. And the major theme of the book, as I've repeated, is God sovereignly and powerfully transforms lives when the gospel is shared. Now, how is this seen? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before he ascends to the Father, he commissions his disciples. He didn't leave them on their own. He sent his Holy Spirit, and he told them, "You will receive power." Now, what is this power for? He explains, when the Holy Spirit has come to you, this is what this power is for. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is the beginning of Acts in Christ's commission. He tells his disciple, you are not going to go alone. I'm going to give you power to do a work. And this power is for this particular purpose, that you will be my witnesses wherever I place you, and you will go to the end of the earth. And it tells us that the work of evangelism, or to share the gospel, is not human work per se. We have a human responsibility, but we go in the power of the Lord, trusting that the Holy Spirit is the one that will sovereignly and transform lives when we share the gospel. He's the one that will do the work. But what is the gospel? We keep hearing this word gospel. Now, in a nutshell, the gospel is essentially a message about God who loves us so much. But there's a problem. Our sin and our disobedience, our pride, the choosing to live life the way we think we want to, refusing to acknowledge that God is our creator, that we need him, these have separated us from God. And Paul tells us in Acts 17 that God has appointed a time to judge sin. However, the gospel message is this: God loves us so much, he made the sacrifice. He didn't make us make the sacrifice, he made the sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin. That's not the end of the gospel. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus' resurrection is the proof that God has accepted his sacrifice, that the payment for sin is done for once and for all, and Jesus' resurrection proof that he has the authority in all heaven, under heaven and earth, and he has the authority to give life, eternal life. And we can trust that he holds the key to life after death. And if we repent and believe in Jesus Christ, God reconciles us with him. And as we see in the earlier verse, God don't just reconcile us, he empowers us. He deposits the Holy Spirit in us. This is the gospel in a nutshell. And in the book of Acts, we see very faithful witnesses bringing this message of the gospel and share it to people, to cities. And we see the faithful witnesses like the disciples, Peter, John, Stephen, Philip, taking this gospel and sharing it, bringing salvation to people. And we look into Acts chapter 2, for example, thousands begin to believe and be baptized when they hear this powerful message of God. And the earlier chapters, we also see how the Holy Spirit worked powerfully whenever the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. The demon-possessed are set free. The paralyzed walk. The lame are healed. Lives are transformed, in some cases, very remarkably. One of the earlier sermons that I was sharing with you is how the Holy Spirit also uses Philip to bring joy and transform lives in an unlikely city, Samaria. The Samaritans were enemies with the Jews, but they gather in huge crowd as a city to listen to this gospel, this message of God's love. And despite the animosity, the Samaritans believed in Jesus. And there was great joy in the city. And it tells us that this, you know, outwardly people may have animosity against the gospel, against God, against us, but deep down they want to hear the gospel. And the Holy Spirit can transform their hearts. And that's why we continue to share the gospel. Now we also see in Philip's example how obedience to share the gospel will have a ripple effect. In Acts chapter 8, Philip shared the gospel with a utopian eunuch, and God in his sovereign way was actually using this obedience of Philip and paving a way for a nation to come to know Christ. I was looking at some statistics. The country of Utopia, as I was mentioned in the earlier sermon, is one of the oldest Christian nation. And some people advocate that the roots of it was this eunuch took the gospel, one of the earliest transformations, this eunuch taking the gospel back to Utopia. Now, perhaps one of the very powerful examples of God's sovereignty and transforming lives in the book of Acts is in the Apostle Paul himself. He was converted in Acts chapter 9. He was someone who was persecuting Christians for sharing the gospel and proclaiming the Jesus Christ, but he had an encounter with the living Christ, and he came to believe in Jesus Christ. Now we see in the second half of the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit empowered Paul to share the gospel to reach to many cities, Antioch, Iconium, Athens, and more people were receiving Christ. So what Jesus said in the beginning, that you will share the gospel in Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the world, all these are being fulfilled as faithful witness carries the gospel wherever they go. Now we see how God sovereignly transformed lives as the message is being shared. It is not so much the people had to do much, the work of the Holy Spirit, but we just have to tell the gospel. Now, how is the gospel transforming lives today? Can God do the same thing today in the midst of us? Surely, yes, but if I can just share one example. This is a picture of our leadership. This picture was taken last year. Okay, so the updated one will have Elder Lester in it also. Okay. What do you notice about this picture? Of course, the person in the center is a tall, handsome, dark young man, very handsome young. But what do you notice about this picture? Among many things, something that is very significant about this picture is close to half of the leadership are alumni of Presbyterian High School, fruits of our outreach, and their lives have been transformed over the years, including mine. And it tells us, this picture is very important, it tells us an encouragement to us as a church that as we continue to proclaim the gospel and support the work where the Lord has placed us here, God will transform lives. Now, in the recent month, the Lord has also directed the hearts of the leaders to respond a call from Anderson Primary School, which is just 200 meters from us. You even can see the school from here now that the building is cleared. And the principal is asking us, can we partner with them to be the sponsoring church for the Boys Brigade ministry? They want to start a Boys Brigade Junior. And I shared this at our recent ACM. Yes, the leadership heard this. We thought about this. And it's something that the Lord is doing. And we agree to take up that challenge to be the sponsoring church for the BB company. But then after I shared at the ACM, the principal also thought that if we have something for the boys, we need to have something for the girls. And she wants to start a girls' brigade ministry. And who will be the sponsoring church of the girls' brigade ministry? Of course, the one nearest to us. Have you thought about it as a leadership again? Yes, this has to be the Lord's calling for us. If you look at the recent years, we are trying to reach out to children in the neighborhood. And this is children in the neighborhood. How can we say no? Especially if we sense that this is something that the Lord is doing. And I hope that this picture will change one day. It will include faces of Anderson Primary School, boys and girls that we have reached out to. Why not? Or even the community, that through it we reach the community. God will sovereignly transform lives when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we observe in the book of Acts how God sovereignly, powerfully transforms lives whenever the gospel is proclaimed. And we also observe in Acts, especially in our passage today, that God will also use persecution, suffering, and rejection for his sovereign purpose. Now the background, I forgot to show you, is what the BB Juniors looks like. This is what the Girls Brigade Junior would look like. Now, the background of our passage today is that Paul is now brought from Jerusalem to Rome, modern-day Italy. But he was brought as a prisoner. The background is this. The Jews in Jerusalem had sought to kill him because he was proclaiming the gospel. So Paul was frequently persecuted, thrown in and out of prison, flogged, beaten. People wants to kill him. And Paul had no choice but to appeal as a citizen to the Roman emperor. The reason is this: if he appeals to Rome, the emperor, he will remain in Roman custody. And so the Jews cannot touch him, in a sense. But God, in his sovereignty, is using Paul's persecution and suffering for a greater purpose. Now that he's a prisoner, he is now transported to Rome, the capital city of the superpower, the empire of that time. And so you may think that Paul's situation is so pitiful. Wow, you're now prisoner, you are chained, you are in the shipwreck, you're so hopeless, there's no way that Paul can go on sharing the gospel is the end. But God was using it for his sovereign purpose. In the Acts 27, the chapter earlier, the biblical author Luke spends so much time and effort describing the details of how they are going through a storm and then they are shipwrecked. Now, on first look, you would think that all these are very unnecessary detail. What has it got to do with the book of Acts? But this detail shows us that God is not done yet. The Holy Spirit is still at work. Even in the midst of the persecution, God was using Paul, the prisoner, to lead 276 people on a ship to know about a God who can still the storm. We heard this in the message earlier. And Paul, in that storm where lives are at stake, was a great encouragement to the sailors then and the Roman soldiers. Perhaps there was no purpose in shipwreck and persecution, but the sailors were encouraged by God's word through Paul. And we heard earlier in our passage that through the shipwreck, the natives of the island of Malta saw how Paul was unhurt by a snake bite. And to them, God must be with this person. And God also uses Paul in the earlier verses of 28 to heal the father of the village head. And many in that island and in that village begin to see God at work. This wouldn't have happened if Paul was not being transported on his way to Rome. The gospel, God in his sovereign way is bringing the gospel out of Jerusalem. And so what we see here is God is the one that is directing the events in Acts. Nothing is a useless detail. Every word, every gospel that is being proclaimed, God will use it to touch lives and to transform it. And it shows us that God can be trusted when we obey the call to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts shows us what we hear so far, how God sovereignly and powerfully transforms lives when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that tells us that we should not be embarrassed to share the gospel. And that is something that Paul writes and he declares in Romans 1:16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Paul knows that the gospel is the only power to transform lives. And he's not ashamed of proclaiming it. If we want to see lives transform, then the only power that can transform life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we look at verse, if we understand that the gospel as the power to transform life, then the application to us is make every use of every opportunity to share the gospel. Make the most of every gospel opportunity. And that is something we see in the example of the apostle. Now, even though he was brought to Rome in verse 17, he immediately gathered the leaders of the Jews, and he explained how he was innocent and why he had to appeal to Caesar. And despite being in chains, Paul was persistent to proclaim the gospel to them. And they told him, yep, we are interested to know more about it. And in verse 22, we'd like to hear what you think, and they set up the next meeting. But the book of Acts is also realistic to tell us that some will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not to say that every of our evangelism effort will be successful. Some will reject, but many more will be reached. In verses 23 and 24, while some receive the gospel that Paul was talking about, we are also told that some turn away from it. And Paul quotes this from Isaiah, the prophecy. Go tell these people you will indeed hear and never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. It's already spoken that some will be so hard not to respond to the gospel. And it's very unfortunate. The phrase dull heart, the heart has grown dull, literally means that the heart has grown thick with fats. In the original language, nothing can penetrate into the heart. The heart is unresponsive. The ears could barely hear because it's a picture of a ear that is so tired and refuses to open to hear. And the eyes are closed. They don't want to open. It tells that the condition of the heart, the condition of the ears, and the condition of the eyes tells that all the sensory part of the person refuses to respond to the gospel. That's what how serious this prophecy is. And unfortunately, they will face the judgment unless they turn to God. What does this passage tell us? I think it's a reflection to perhaps for some of us. What is the condition of our hearts today? Perhaps we have been a Christian for some years now, but we have not followed Christ faithfully. We have drifted away. Perhaps you have yet to receive Jesus Christ. But the gospel message is always a gospel of grace. In Ezekiel, God has the power to give us a new heart, a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God can still renew us if we turn to him. The rejection will not stop the advancement of the gospel. And Paul, as we see in the example in Acts, he continued to make the best use of his house arrest. And in verse 30, it tells us that he continues to share whoever that wants to hear the gospel. And apparently, many in Rome are hearing this message and are turning to the Lord. And in fact, the Roman guards that were chained to Paul, or Paul was chained to them, apparently are also hearing the gospel, and many perhaps are listening, are turning to the Lord. You know, Paul wrote this in Philippians. About this imprisonment in Rome, he wrote to the church in Philippi, and he tells them this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, you think I'm jail, I am prison, I am chained, has really served to advance the gospel. so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Perhaps the guard that was chained to Paul had no choice but to hear the gospel. And every time there's a chain of shift, the next batch of guard will hear the gospel. And Paul writes here in Philippians, they are hearing the gospel, the powerful people, the centurion, the commanders, the guards, and perhaps spreading among the palace the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made use of every opportunity, and God used that to transform lives. Now, it's very significant what Jesus said at the beginning of Acts, take the gospel out. And faithful witnesses took it out. And now, at the end of Acts, the gospel has reached Rome, modern-day Italy, the empire, the superpower then. And it tells us that God certainly can use us wherever we are to make a very significant impact to transform life, life beyond what we think. Now, we see so far in our message that God sovereignly and powerfully transformed life whenever the gospel is being proclaimed. And he wants to partner with us today to bring this message out to wherever and whoever. And you and I can trust that as we are obedient to be carry on to be that faithful witness, God will transform lives. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us. And Acts shows us that with this combination of divine power and our faithfulness, many lives will be changed, many lives will be transformed. Now, what is our response if we know that God will transform life? And our response is basically what we heard, make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of our strategies under the Make Disciples pillar of our church is being lambs for Christ, and we have heard this. L stands for look out for someone. Who is the someone that God has been tugging your heart? It could be a friend in school or the colleague in the office. Who's the someone that God asks you, look out for him? A is to ask God, which is to pray. And we see this example in the early believers in Acts, that they prayed for boldness. M is to makan. A local word, Malay word, means to eat. It's an encouragement to build the relationship. P is to proclaim the gospel. And many of us stuck at eating and then we stop. But what it means to go on to P? We have an ABC class that is offering a ministry training, how to move beyond just normal conversation to spiritual conversation. And that's something that we can learn. And S is to share your story, your testimony, so that you encourage all of us. The book of Acts concludes with this last sentence. Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Church history tells us that about 200 years later, after Paul, in AD 312, the Roman Emperor Constantine was the first emperor to convert to Christianity. And that's why today you see the Vatican and why Italy is a huge Roman Catholic. The gospel continued to transform life even after Paul. We do not know what happened to Paul while he was in Rome, Some people, the scripture didn't tell, some people say that he was martyred. But it appears to Luke that that is not important to record. Luke ends with proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and hindrance. It is as though Luke is saying that the book is finished, but the mission has not. You, the reader, will now take this mission, and will you continue to proclaim the gospel with all boldness and without hindrance? We are called to enter into this story and be that ongoing mission that Christ has commissioned us. And we are to trust the Lord that the Lord will sovereignly and powerfully transform lives when we share the gospel. Let us pray. Will you take some time to think, who is someone or who has been that person that the Lord has been tugging your heart to reach out to? Who is that someone that you will commit to pray and ask the Lord for opportunity to share the gospel with? Who is the someone that today, as you leave this place, you will tell the Lord, Lord, I want to reach out to this person, not because I have all the gifting or I know what to say, because your Holy Spirit will powerfully transform that person's life. Who is this person that you want to trust God and you will, in obedience, follow up with this person? Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word has first reached our lives when faithful people over the years have shared your message to us. And your word here today calls us, Lord, not to keep the gospel, not to be lazy about it, Lord. Because you have the power, you want to use us to continue to transform lives, Lord. Spirit of the living God, may you give us the boldness and the courage and the faith to trust you, that as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who needs to hear this, who needs to find hope, find strength, that you will use us, Lord, and you will transform lives. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.